And I got paired with Ali and I thought she was real nice, obviously very openly gay as well, which seems to be my weak point.
Yeah. Love some confidence.
Yeah. I do. Look, there's nothing hotter than confidence.
Yeah.
She slid into the DMs after a little while and I knew what was up.
Queers, queens, and in-betweens, hello and welcome to Same Sex, Same Shit. I'm Rochelle, and some weeks I'm joined by my incredible fiancé, Maddie, and other weeks I'm joined by powerhouse queer guests. Now, we love to chat all things lesbian, and each week we're going to be sharing that us queers do the same shit as everyone else. It's June, which of course means it's Pride Month. Happy Pride. To celebrate for the entire month, you're going to be hearing less of Maddie and I, as we're going to be interviewing and sharing stories of incredible queer guests. Week one is no exception. Today we have Kate Brigginshaw on the podcast. Kate is a teacher in education support for Indigenous children, beautiful mum of two, wife to Ali Brigginshaw, and hands down, the funniest person I follow on Instagram. Honestly, if you don't follow Kate, you should. Kate, I want to go back. Everyone seems to think that you came out later in life, but you're actually an OG gay girly. So let's start there.
An OG gay girly. I love that. So I grew up in the country. And when I was going to high school, I used to travel into town to all girls Catholic school.
Yes.
I always liked boys. Well, yeah. I think I liked boys. Always like wanted like a boyfriend or whatever. And then never had one. Like could never snag myself a BF. And then it wasn't until I think I was like maybe grade 10 that there was a girl grade younger than me and she was very openly gay, which you'd think at an all-girl school would be common, but it wasn't.
Not at all. I was the only gay girl at my school too, but I also wasn't open. So
there probably were like gay girls there, but definitely not open. She was like stereotypically gay,
mm-hmm.
but it, like her confidence was what like drew me in, and she started flirting with me and like showing some attention, and I was like, oh. what's this about? Yeah. And yeah, that's really when I started questioning my sexuality. And
so had you been with any girls prior to that? It was
no, like so I had actually my first kiss was with a guy and would have only been like a couple months prior. Like I was a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm. Your TED is not late.
Well, I feel like compared to other girls, like my friends and stuff who all already had boyfriends, and here I was just chasing my first kiss. So, yeah, this girl showed interest. It was like it felt different to when I kissed the first boy that I was like, yeah. I almost felt like it was naughty, like probably also because I couldn't be like at the time I wasn't like open about it. Whereas mm-hmm. I remember my first guy kiss, I was like, oh, mom, guess what? Like I kissed a boy tonight and it was exciting. I would never dream of like going home and being like, oh, I'm thinking about kissing a girl. Yeah. You
know, there's this really confident gay girl.
we're figuring it out. But yeah, we ended up hooking up or like kissing. Whatever, it still never went anywhere. Like she wasn't my girlfriend. I was obsessed with her though. But yeah, that was after like I kissed her. I just thought, I think this is me.
Mm.
It just felt like I was me.
And so then, what did the next few years look like for you through the end of high school? Figuring all that out.
And it's like never had a relationship or anything like that. My first relationship was with a girl from the same high school. I had actually finished and then we got together. So she was actually my first relationship because I never had a boyfriend or anything. And we were together for like about 18 months. Mm-hmm.
And was that in private?
She was very openly gay and stereotypically gay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like we didn't need to say what it was because it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, like I've always been very femme and she was not. And she was so openly gay. So, yeah, I never, like, announced it to anyone. Like, my friends and stuff knew, but my parents certainly didn't. I do remember, though, them telling me, oh, it was mum that said, so she used to come over and sleep over. All my friends would sleep over in my bed as well. And then this one day, I can't really say her name because in case she's watching, she knows who she is. We're friends. But yeah, she's like, oh, none of your friends can sleep in the same bed as you anymore. It's just inappropriate. And like she left it at that. She didn't say anything more. And I knew I only had this one friend, my special friend, sleeping over. So I was like, oh, okay. All right. And I'd just go to her house instead.
Yeah.
And sleep at her house because her parents knew. But it wasn't until we broke up that I like sort of came out. So I had an idea that my parents already knew. Dad certainly never said anything to me. And then once we broke up, I was devastated and crying and stuff. And
first lesbian heartbreak.
Oh, there's nothing like it.
I know.
She was, I don't know, just saying like, oh, what's wrong? And I couldn't talk to her about it because she didn't know. And then, yeah, ended up saying we weren't just friends. She just said, well, I suspected.
Yeah.
She was like, she was fine. It was like, you'll be okay. And it's your first heartbreak. And yeah.
And so at that point, did you see yourself ending up with girls or boys, or you kind of weren't really fussed at that time?
No, I could never imagine myself ever being with a guy, ever. But it's funny because I would only see myself with girls or women, but I didn't see like a future with women, if that makes sense. Okay. Like I didn't think there it was possible to have a future with women, as in like marriage, kids and stuff, which obviously that's change because for one it's legal to marry whoever you want now and there's options if you want kids. So back when I was a teenager, obviously IVF and like fertility were maybe options, but it wasn't sort of spoken about or like a known thing,
not in the same sex community especially as well.
Yes, definitely.
Do hear so many stories, I mean still these days, of kids being like, oh well, you know, like I like this girl but I can't marry her because she's a girl. And they still think that somehow there's still this narrative of boys and girls have to get married for young kids. And they have these feelings and expressions of, I like the same sex, but in their head, like you just said, it's not a thing. Like it's not possible to even have a future with them because that's just not how it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely thought that. I would never have thought that there was a future for same-sex couples. And even like I remember my mum said to me once like that where she worked at the time there were a gay couple that were together, two men though, and she made a comment that was like, oh, same-sex couples are all good but they never work out, which was funny because I mean the divorce rate for hetero couples is
through the roof.
Pretty up there. Yeah, and that always like annoyed me because I'm like, what's it got to do with the sex? Like people break up all the time, regardless of whether it's a boy and girl or boy and boy or girl and girl. Like how's that relevant? But yeah, that sort of has always stuck with me because yeah, it sort of just reiterated the fact, well, no one's going to take me serious if I am with a girl, for starters. And yeah, what is our future? Like no one cares. It's a joke to everyone. And definitely didn't know if I wanted kids or if it was possible or if I wanted them. I thought, well, obviously it will have to be with a boy, which is sad because that wasn't who like I was or who I am. Yeah.
And so did you turn to anyone or anything for any sort of representation or any feelings of being included after your first breakup? How did you navigate those waters?
I didn't. Like I don't think I had anyone to sort of look up to or even to talk to in that space to like, you know, answer questions or like even provide support. Like I didn't know anyone.
And then I think you identifying as more of a feminine lesbian is even an added layer on top of that as well, because you were just saying your ex-partners were more masculine presenting and those that stereotypical what a lesbian did really look like in those, you know, those days.
Yeah.
And so that would have been even more confusing for you. I've spoken about a fair few times how I had like I guess like an identity crisis in a way where I was like, I don't want to shave all my hair off and I don't want to wear like boy clothes, but I still am a lesbian and I like girls, but yeah, no one will believe me.
Yeah.
Because I don't look that way.
I can so relate. I still feel like now that I'm not taken serious, or that like it's just a fad, or Ali and I talk about this all the time. Guys will just think that they can approach you, come up to you and chat you up or whatever, which doesn't happen. But because I'm femme, oh, she's not really a lesbian.
Mm.
Or, you know, wait till she's with me, or, you know, shit like that, which it annoys me because I'm like, so if I, shave my head and dressed a certain way, would I then be taken serious? Would I be like a real lesbian then?
Yeah. And it's absolutely not coming from, of course, inside the queer community. I know myself and a lot of other people, like we're such big advocates, and the way that you look does not define your sexuality. Like you can look fuck however you want to look, honestly. Anyway. A lot of that comes from the heteronormative perceptions. And I spoke about this, you know, a few weeks ago on an episode with Maddie. I was talking about different labels and I was like, it's funny how even within the queer community, we still kind of label lesbians as masculine and feminine. Like we're still having to try and find that male. About that?
Oh, who's the boy in the relationship? Oh, that kills me.
Yeah.
It's just twisted. I feel like we've come so far, but we've got so much more to go.
Yeah. And the only way that it's going to change or for people to feel more confident is podcasts like this or representation, people being confident in their own skin. And it is really hard to be one of those first people, or, you know, if you don't have anyone to look up to, or you don't feel like you have that community. But then in the same token, there are so many people that you are making feel comfortable and confident in their own sexuality, just being who you are as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big motivator for me, I find too. And I'm sure your online presence too is incredible for the queer community, and you show up as yourself and wear what you want to wear. And although there's like those internal battles and those dickheads that are on the outside, it's really nice for people who are navigating that as well.
Yeah.
So then how did you find yourself after that breakup? What did that look like for you and your sexuality?
Well, we broke up, came out to mum, so that was fine. I had like another relationship and then another one after that, which I feel like every girl relationship, it's like, oh, this one's the one. And like,
we're very emotional.
We're very emotional. So yeah, this girl, we got together. And actually, this is how I met Ali, through this girlfriend, because they were friends. But we had the most toxic relationship. It was so fucked up. Anyways, we dated for 12-ish months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a horrific breakup. So our best friend at the time, who was straight, after we broke up, she kind of was always with her. And I was suspecting at the end of our relationship that, is it possible that maybe my girlfriend likes her? Or never thought it'd be the other way around because she's straight, had a boyfriend. But yeah, after we broke up, it came out that they were having an affair the whole time. And it was horrible. It was so awful. And I felt so traumatized by it. And even in the months after, like it was shoved in my face and I was like tormented. It was mentally just horrific. Yeah, it was like, I can't be with a girl anymore. Like, it's too emotionally taxing. And like, it felt like this big mind game. And I literally just decided the next relationship I have or the next interaction I have with anyone will be a boy.
Yep.
It was as simple as that.
You're not alone in that. Like, I have so many lesbian friends who are either going through that currently or have been through that feeling where they've had just an awful toxic breakup with a girl and it's damaged them to the point where they're like, I can't do this emotional roller coaster anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how it went. Even like to say it out loud, is it seems so silly. Like, how can you just choose like, oh, snap your fingers and I'm going to try a boy. But that's what I did. And I just thought like, no offense to guys, but their emotional intelligence is a little bit less than. So I was like, should be easier. You know, it shouldn't be much of a head fuck. And I don't feel like it was, to be honest. But yeah, I had a very brief relationship with a guy after the breakup. And then I eventually met Jake, my ex. He's actually 4.5 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So we were like partying a lot. And then not even quite 3 months in, I found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was that for you at such a young age, for one? And, you know, if not planning to have kids at that age, I don't think 24, 25 is young if that's what you want and that's what you're planning, but unexpectedly, and also still going through the roller coaster of your sexuality as well.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
I definitely thought I was too young. I didn't know if I wanted to be a mom. I was with a guy as well. It was so confusing, and I was actually terrified. I was terrified to even tell my parents, mm-hmm. and I was 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and for Jake, like, he was 20. So he certainly wouldn't have wanted to be a dad that young.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know if he really wanted to be a dad at all. Like, we'd never discussed it.
Yeah. As you said, yous were nothing serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
It happened, but I decided that I was going to have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that immediately changed the dynamic of our relationship. Pretty much just went into mum mode,
mm-hmm.
and nothing really changed for him.
As in, so you're saying that it shifted away from like the fun party, no strings attached.
Absolutely.
The purpose had shifted from that fun party to the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the whole dynamic changed and I changed. I even remember a comment at the time was like, oh, you used to be fun and now you're boring. But
motherhood does that to you in general, like, you know, regardless of whether it's planned, unplanned, who it's with.
Yeah.
That happens in motherhood no matter what. So then to have those comments thrown at you on top of everything that you were going through would have been so hard.
It was, I don't want to be like disrespectful, but it kind of was like the tone of our relationship. Like, and I get it because we were seeing each other for a couple of months and it was fun and it was exciting at the time, and then something very serious happened, life-changing happened. So I can understand like where that comment came from and the frustration, because like, he wouldn't have signed up for this.
And you were probably feeling that too.
Oh yeah, 100%. I was terrified. But when I decided, okay, this is a situation and I've got to put my big girl panties on now and I'm going to do everything I can for this baby, and I literally feel like I became a mum the second that I found out I was pregnant. Like, I did change and I'm forever changed from that moment. I think it took a little bit, maybe after the baby was born, for Jake to have that change. I think that's probably pretty common for men.
I would actually say that's probably common for most non-birthing parents, even in a same-sex relationship. Like, I didn't expect it either. Like, I didn't expect to not feel that connection. Like, nothing changed in my life either. So I totally understand that point, and everything changes for the pregnant woman's life.
Yeah.
Like, that's everything, so everything you do is centered around that baby now, and you're the one that's having to go through all of these changes mentally, emotionally, physically, and like, things change. Of course, I'm not taking away from non-birthing parents, but like, not a lot changes really in their day-to-day life.
Yeah, you word it so well. That's it's like, without being disrespectful, like, everything does change. Like, and you're constantly reminded of the change. Like, your body's changing, you feel different. Like your constant thought is the baby that you're carrying.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for a non-birthing parent, you can still kind of go about your day, and you're not saying that you don't think about it, but it is different.
Yeah, you don't have that constant reminder there either. Like, you know, you're not the one growing the baby.
Yeah.
You're still working your full-time job or whatever.
Yeah.
And you, as the birthing parent, you have to change. Like, mentally and emotionally, you have to, because this baby's growing and coming regardless.
Yeah.
So then what did the next few years look like for you and Jake?
So we had Addison, little girl, after she was born. Like, my entire life, every priority, well, she was the only priority. So when you're already struggling with the situation and the dynamic change from going from this fun, carefree, relationship to, oh, you're pregnant, let's go and buy a house and prepare for this baby, and now the baby's born. Like, the shift was so big. He was good. He just sort of slotted in, but I felt like it was always like me and Addison, and Jake would come home, he worked away, but he sort of just had to fit in with our life because it was always me and Addison, and we were in routine, we did everything together. She was just my whole world and nothing else. I didn't care about anything else. And it actually also probably didn't help. I had really bad blues with Addison. Not as far as like connecting with her. I just was sad all the time. And that didn't really help Jake and I's relationship either.
Yep.
I don't think he really knew what to do. He was working away as well, so I was by myself a lot of the time.
Yeah. And you just carried on with that white picket kind of, let's buy a house, let's have a baby.
Yeah. We were sort of just doing everything on paper that I thought we needed to do, even for, like, I don't want to talk on his behalf, but I feel like he was even like that, like, oh, we'll go and buy a house and we'll settle down and raise this child, and we're in this now, so this is what we have to make the best of it. So
And then so you had your second bub as well?
Yes. So yeah, Addison would have been about two, and I decided, well, it's time for another baby, and love to give Addison a sibling. So very like transactional, you know. I fell pregnant straight away, and 9 months later Alfie was born.
At any point through this, like, how did you feel in regards to your sexuality, like going from such a drastic change of being with girls for your whole early teens and life, and being like, this is who I am, and then all of a sudden you find yourself with a guy, and then now you're pregnant and have a house together, and that's your life now, and being a mum is your entire purpose essentially.
Yeah.
How did you ever kind of think about your sexuality through that, or was it a back thought?
Well, for starters, like, Jake knew about my sexuality, but once we got together and everything sort of happened, I kind of put it to the back of my mind. I actually remember at one point feeling a little bit embarrassed about my past, and I just thought, oh, well, it must have been a phase because, like, look at me now. Even though I didn't love my life, as in sort of where I was at, like, in my relationship, I didn't feel like I was living authentically, but I don't really know how to explain it. I kind of felt silly, like, and then would question, I mustn't have really been like a lesbian, or I was just so confused. But
because that's where you were now, so you were like, well, I get it. Like, well, maybe all of that was just me having fun and working myself out, and it felt really real at the time.
Yeah.
But now this is real. Now what you were going through. So I get what you're trying to say.
I have the thoughts up here and trying to like explain it, but I would think how my life would be different had I not met Jake, or actually even like gone through that breakup. Like, would I have continued on and been with women, or
just confused?
Yeah, which is really funny because I wasn't very confused growing up. When I started getting the attention from the girl in high school, I was like, oh, cool. Like, never felt like bad or ashamed of myself.
Let's talk about how it kind of progressed through to the divorce with you and Jake and your life after that.
Yes. So Alfie was less than one, so between like 6 months and 1 year old. Jake actually proposed to me. So, like, I've never dreamt of like a wedding or like even being married. I didn't care for that. And yeah, we like planned this little wedding, and it was literally making me physically ill planning the wedding. And I felt like there was like no returns after it.
Yeah.
Like, once you do this, that's it.
Your life forever.
Yes. And up until that point, I did feel that way, but I felt like I could still get out if I needed to or wanted to. But getting married was a real final thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was only like weeks out from the wedding. I even remember Googling, how can you respectfully like cancel a wedding? Wow. Like, and like letting people down, and what would people say? And it was horrific, actually. But we did get married. I was physically sick on the wedding day again, got married and like had the ceremony, and then was so ill I left. So I wasn't there at the wedding.
Yeah.
I was still sick actually for a month or so after, and was hospitalized a few times. Yeah, I was diagnosed with something, and it was all due to, I had ulcers all through my stomach.
Yeah.
Which they said was overwhelming stress and depression.
Yeah.
I even remember when they told me that in the hospital, I was so embarrassed to tell Jake, so I just never told him.
Wow.
I actually was already going to gym and stuff, but I remember talking to my PT after I'd got home from hospital, and I told him, and he was like, you really just need to like change your life, and you really need to start looking after yourself. You've got two kids now. So I started changing like diet and stuff, but I was going into gym more to help with like the mental toll and trying to work through that. I'm not much of a sharer of personal things, which even with a partner is probably pretty strange. Like, it's different with Ali. I share a lot with her.
Mm.
But Jake and I never really had that relationship ever. And I also felt like bad and guilty about it, because I knew the reasons why I felt like why I was so sick and what was making me so sick.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to hurt his feelings or, you know, or break up my family. So I just never said anything and just tried sort of putting a band-aid on it by, if I improve my mental health, like, and go to gym and do all this, that'll make me happier. Mm-hmm. And so then I'll therefore be happier at home and everything will be good.
Yeah.
But it had the opposite effect. I almost started feeling better about myself and gained like more confidence within myself, where I then eventually got to the point where I just thought, what am I doing with my life? I'm literally wasting my life. I'm 30 years old. I've got two kids. I've been with this person for like 5 years. I'm not happy. I know he's not happy, but we're committed to the kids.
Yeah.
And not saying there wasn't love there. Like, there was definitely love there, but do I think that we were in love with each other? No. I just felt like I was wasting my life, and I thought, well, I don't want to look back, or even for my kids to, when they're older, look back and see like a shit relationship, or, you know, their parents would fight, or like, I wanted to be an example for them of what's healthy, and I wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the final straw? Like, how did it come to the point where you were confident enough to make that decision for yourself? Because from what I'm hearing, it sounds like a lot of your other decisions prior to that were based on keeping everyone else happy.
Yeah.
The guests at your wedding happy, and Jake happy, and the kids happy.
Yeah.
So how did you finally come to the point where mentally you were able to put you and your kids first and make yourself happy?
I just got tired of pretending that my life was perfect or a certain way when it wasn't. Like, I didn't know who I was anymore. I felt like I had lost myself years prior. Obviously wasn't happy. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, nothing specifically it happened. I just was tired.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to live a lie anymore. I wanted to be a good example to my kids and be like authentically me. And I'm not even saying like I wanted to go and be a lesbian again or whatever. I just didn't want to be in the relationship anymore. We were happy with our family, and we were definitely committed to our family, but our relationship wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was wasting my time and my life and his life, and that's not fair on anyone. So nothing like happened. I just grew tired, and I just thought, if I don't do it now, I'll stay here for another 5, 10, 15 years, and my kids will grow up, they'll leave home, and I'll be old and lonely, and I'll have this person, but we will have nothing in common. Our relationship wasn't there.
Mm.
I kept thinking about stuff like that.
I know I feel the same in regards to my career and stuff. If you're not happy in something, I would hate for my kids to continue pushing through something that genuinely doesn't make them happy and doesn't bring them joy.
Yeah.
And they're miserable, but they can't see an out, or they don't know what else that they can do.
Yeah.
So I completely understand how that is such a big motivator to go and then be that example for them to say, if you're not happy, you need to change it. Like, there's this life is too short to sit there and be unhappy.
Yeah. It's never too late to change it either. Like, I was 30 years old. If not now, then when?
Yeah, of course.
You know, but I grew up, like, my parents were together, but they never had a happy, like, marriage or relationship. So I would always see them fighting or them not being on the same page or having anything in common. And I remember thinking as a kid, I wish my parents would break up. Like, I hated it. And they did eventually break up when I was 18. And when she told me, I was like, oh, thank God. And she was kind of like shocked and taken aback. And I was like, why didn't you break up soon? And she's like, what do you mean? I stayed for you kids.
Mm.
I just thought, I would, like, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's really harmful for kids to grow up in an unhappy home. Like, it's not right. And I know it happens all the time, and I understand why people want to stay. I wanted to stay too, because I didn't want to break up my family. I wanted my kids to have a mum and a dad in the same house, under the same roof. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, like, we didn't have a loving relationship. We didn't actually really even get the chance to, like, build a, like, foundation of just us two, because
it all happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And so obviously now you have Ali, your beautiful wife, and you've got your kids, and you are such an incredible inspiration, just authentically yourself online, sharing your life and your story. And that is, I mean, essentially the whole basis of the name of this podcast, Same Sex, Same Shit. We share that we do the same shit as everyone else. Like, we're just normal people.
Yeah.
I want to know how you then got to that point after the divorce. What did your mental health look like and rebuilding to where you are now?
Yeah. It wasn't good. The breakup was very hard. I think when there are children involved, it just adds a whole nother layer of complicatedness, if that's a word. Like, it was so hard to navigate. I will say, Jake and I always said that we'd put the kids first, and we always have. So I'm really proud of him and us for doing that. We didn't have, like, a nasty breakup. Like, not saying that it wasn't hard or hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the same page as far as, like, the kids just have to come first and we have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that is concerned, that was okay. My personal mental health was a train wreck. I was still going to gym, stuff like that. I didn't even know I had anxiety at this point. So I have, like, high functioning anxiety. I had no idea. And actually, talking to my therapist last year, when that was actually when I was diagnosed, we went through, like, early life and teenage years and stuff. And I actually had anxiety the whole time. There were different, like, triggers, and had no idea up until after Jake and I broke up that there was something, like, not right. It was only, like, a couple of months after. Well, I actually had already met Ali years ago from the toxic girlfriend, but she was coming to the gym as well. Yeah. So we were friends at gym.
You and Ali were friends at gym.
Yeah, yep. Ali and I were friends at gym, yeah.
So talk to me about yours and Ali's journey and meeting. You had met each other or knew of each other from the toxic ex.
Yes.
But obviously the toxic ex. I love that. That's all I know.
Imagine if she was the fuck.
Yeah. No offense. That's all I know.
Yeah. Look, all the best.
Obviously nothing eventuated from when you met back then.
No. So when we met, she was a bitch because she wouldn't talk. She thought she was, like, better than everyone. So I don't actually know if she did.
I'd love
she
that.
She reckons that she was intimidated by me, but I'm actually really friendly and I'll, like, talk to anyone, and I'm, like, happy with high functioning anxiety.
So but she was nervous.
She must have been nervous.
You were intimidating, but you are so friendly.
Yeah.
The miscommunication.
It was a miscommunication. But no, so we didn't talk. And then years later, I actually saw her, the house that Jake and I bought, our first house. I came home one day with Addison in the car and there was like a courier van out the front. And like, that's normal. Like, love a package. And I saw this like blondie walking back to the van and jumping in. And like, she stared at me and I stared at her and I was like, oh shit, that looks like Ali Brigginshaw. Which I remember, like, everyone knows her by Ali Brigginshaw. It's not Ali, it's Ali Brigginshaw.
Gotcha.
I was like, oh, that's fucking random. Like,
what's she doing out the front of my house?
Yeah, how do you get a couriering job? Anyways, off she left, never saw her again. But my packages from that day were all over the yard. And I never realized why until we got together. She would, well, she was obviously scared of me. When we locked eyes and she thought, fuck, this is Kate's house. And she's here with a guy. She's, you know, she's straight now. She's got a kid.
What the fuck is going on? Wild.
Yeah, never saw her again. And, she was just like throwing them over the fence.
Launching them.
So, fuck seeing Kate again. No, thank you.
Oh, I love that. That's gold.
Years again later at gym, I actually will never forget when she walked in. I was like, oh, Ali Brigginshaw, here she is again. Like,
I need to confront her about my parcels.
Dead set. No, I still didn't know. It was only after we got together she told me about the parcels.
You just thought you had a shit postie.
Yeah, I was like, what about if I had something fragile in here?
Somebody needs to fire this person.
Yeah. So she came to gym and she'd just always do her own thing. So I was still like, oh, here she is. She still thinks she's better than everyone. And then we got paired together because my normal gym partner wasn't there this one day. And I got paired with Ali and I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be horrific. We didn't really speak much on that day. Eventually, so we were partnered together a few times and we did start talking. Then we became friends. And then
I can feel the anxiety. I fucking hate being partnered with people at the gym that you don't know, let alone people that you have like a history with. How am I meant to train at all
today?
And
also, I knew she was always sporty. I didn't really know like what she did, but she was always like the sports girl. I thought, like, I'm not good. Like, I can't do anything.
I'm just trying to work on myself.
I'm just doing my best here. Look, I'm here for my mental health. So she knows how to do everything else. Here we go. Shame. But we became friends and – she was real nice, obviously very openly gay as well, which seems to be my weak point.
Yeah. Love some confidence. Yeah.
I do. Look, there's nothing hotter than confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, she slid into the DMs after a little while and I knew what was up. And then it's sort of just like we started seeing each other. But I actually remember I kept saying to her, like, you know I'm like a mum. I look after my kids every day. I co-sleep with my kids. Like,
not a dog mum, a real mum.
I'm a real mum. Like, are humans. You, do you know, like, what this means? I'm not like, it's serious. This is very serious. Just like, I love kids. I'm like, oh. Yeah, but, like, full time. No, I love kids. I've always wanted kids. I'm like, oh, okay, righto. But, yeah, those, like, early days. Well, because – and my kids had already met Ali because I used to take them to the gym with me.
Right. So it was a familiar face.
It was a familiar face. I did even think, like, Addison was only 3 or 4 at the time. So it's like, I wonder what she'll think. Like, will she think anything?
Mm.
Will it be weird? But Ali was so good right away with them and it progressed quickly, as you know. Well, most same-sex relationships.
Yeah. And how did it feel going back to women after everything that had happened for the last few years?
I was like, do I remember what to do?
Yeah. That happens even after a breakup and you're like single for a bit and then you get with someone who you actually like and you're like, fuck, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm like, I've got to learn to be a lesbian all over again. Even like kissing a soft face.
I forgot. Oh, guys,
and there's nothing better.
Mm.
Just a nice, soft lips, soft like hair-free face. It was nice.
Stunning.
It was stunning, but actually it was terrifying. Alfie was only one and so many months, I don't remember anymore. But like I had not long stopped breastfeeding.
Mm.
I was like, oh my God, what about if like I've still got milk in there? this is awkward.
There's a lot going on here.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. And like I wasn't like super confident. Like she's a sports person. Like I don't have a six pack. Yeah. I don't know. It was a lot. I was very worried. But Ali's very good at making people feel comfortable and confident. And yeah, I didn't really worry for too long.
You were happy with the relationship and obviously going back to women and
the first kiss was, it was like it reignited my old self. I felt like me again. Yeah, it just felt right.
That's so nice.
And normal. And yeah. I just thought, wow, I can't believe it took me this long to get back to being me,
mm-hmm.
doing things that made me happy, putting me first. Like I stayed in a relationship for so long because I wanted to keep like our family together and do the right thing. And it got to a point where I was like, I matter too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking back, like sure, there's like a few things I would change, but
Overall,
like yeah. I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be with Ali if I hadn't gone through those things. And I have my two beautiful kids now. And
thanks to your gym partner for being off sick that day.
What a legend.
Let's talk about that viral kiss of you and Ali at the Brisbane Broncos game.
The viral kiss.
So you guys are obviously within yourselves. Dating, yes. Happy together,
yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, your relationship essentially wasn't out in the public.
No. So it was 3 or 4 months in. I hadn't told like my dad. Mum did know. She was fine, but I think she was still in a bit of shock. Like how can you go from being with a guy, getting married, the marriage lasting all of 2 months, and now like you're a lesbian again? Like
yeah.
How?
Because they don't see the internal
no.
at home and stuff to be that fair, goes like, on.
Never spoke to anyone about it. No one knew, no friends, no one knew of the issues that I had like with Jake, like as in the situation.
Yeah.
Went down, watched the final. They won, which was like so exciting because it was the first ever NRLW. And Ali came over to the family. Like hug and kiss, and yeah, the photo went viral. And that's how everyone else from my family found out, and I guess the world
yep.
as well, which was really disappointing. Like I know Ali has said before she was disappointed because it took the focus off like the historical moment that was the first NRLW.
Of course, yeah.
Which so fair, but then yeah, for myself – I felt like I was being like outed, not outed that I was gay or anything, but like yeah. my relationship was being outed and that was taken away from me. Like mm-hmm. I should have been able to do that.
No matter who it was that you kissed, any private relationship that is then publicly outed by the mm-hmm. media, no matter who it is, would have been hard. And yeah. when the choice is taken away from you, that's the part that's not fair.
Yeah.
When it's taken out of your control.
Oh, and there was backlash. It wasn't like a happy moment. Strangers would comment and say things, but like from some family and friends, it was pretty rough. And
yeah.
it was also hurtful as well to Jake as well.
Of
Seeing
course.
Me on the front of a paper and on the internet with someone else so publicly, like I didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why it would be hurtful. It was horrible.
Yep.
That wasn't really a good time. A nice photo, but
hard time.
It was a hard
internally,
time.
Yeah. yeah. And so, what does life now look like for Kate and Ali?
Well, now we're married, so it's good. It's fun. It's easy in a good way. Like we're busy, but it's comfortable, and we have like a lot of respect for each other.
Yeah,
and love for each other. So. It makes life pretty good when you're with someone that you feel like you're genuinely compatible with.
Yeah.
and someone who loves you, every part of you, genuinely and wholeheartedly. And that's how Ali's always been with me. Like, there's not been one day where she hasn't made me feel like worthy or loved. And even the kids, she's a really great mum to them and like a great support to them. She's doing drop-offs and she's at every game and she's like doing exactly what I do. Like, she really is an equal partner to me. And I feel like it's been my only relationship where it's felt like a partnership. I'm so grateful for our life and that she persisted with me.
And that neither of you left the gym. I feel like this gym is so iconic to the relationship. The gym
doesn't exist anymore, which is sad. We'll still like work out together sometimes, but yeah, she's so competitive and I'm competitive and I'm not as good as her, so it causes problems. So we know where our strengths lie and it's not working.
I feel you. I'm dating an ex-PT firefighter, AFLW. Hell. Like, I absolutely feel you.
Yeah,
we don't work out together. It's so hard when you're just too hard. Oh, she's pregnant. She's better than me.
Oh, like, we have a touch team together. It's our first time we've ever played like sport together on the same team. She's missed the last couple games and we haven't won, and it's just so frustrating because I'm like, God damn it! Like, I want to win without you. We need her, but oh, it's annoying. She's awesome, and I'm just so grateful that I did make the choice to leave and to seek more for myself. Like, whether that worked out or not, like, that was fine. Like, I knew making the decision to leave Jake would possibly not end well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was I going to be a single mum forever?
Yeah.
Like, the thought of someone even being interested in a single mum of two that got married and divorced in 2 months, like, it's not appealing. Like,
well, to Ali
it is.
This is obviously the first time that I'm really hearing all of your story, and your strength is admirable. What you've been through, what we've spoken about today, is just surface level scratching how you actually would have felt in those moments and the roller coaster of emotions that you would have gone on within your sexuality, within your relationships, within your like self as a mum and as a person overall. And to then now sit here today and share your story and have such a positive outlook on it and have such a positive outcome in general, I think really speaks to your strength as a person. And I know it probably sometimes doesn't feel like that with everything that you've gone through, but yeah, your story is incredible. And I think you will, just sharing it will help so many people everywhere that are listening. And we have definitely debunked that you did not come out later in life.
Yes. Let it be on the record.
Let it be.
Leslie for life.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining me today. And again, thank you for sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you all so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us and stay up to date with our day-to-day life as well as future episodes, you can do so on our socials at those.2mums. We absolutely love bringing you these conversations each week, so if you love it too, please subscribe and leave us a review. Chat to you all next week. Bye.